Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All right, John Seiler is back with us this afternoon. He's the Director of Higher Education Policy and a Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And really, really good timing here because we're going to talk about some things that happened with the American Sociological Association and what they're saying about sociology courses. But what happened here is there's a new report that was dropped from Vanderbilt and WashU about, you know, political bias in the humanities and social sciences. Very, very interesting. John, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
First and foremost, like, who did this? Who commissioned this report that kind of came out today?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting development. So WashU and Vanderbilt jointly commissioned a report basically asking a very distinguished committee of academics from across the country. This was by no means a conservative committee to write a report just addressing this question of whether the humanities and the social sciences were in some ways becoming degraded by a couple of different issues, mostly whether they're being degraded by politicization. And so the presidents of Vanderbilt and WashU asked this group to review a large amount of scholarship, and they did, and they came back with this report, which, you know, if you compare it to other reports that have come out recently, Yale University just produced a similar report. It's an extremely strong statement about what's going wrong in higher education right now, which makes it really interesting.
Yeah, one of the lines is, if the pursuit of disinterested inquiry is compromised, it strikes at the very foundation on which a university should be based, just as the corrupt administration of justice strikes as the foundation of what a system of justice should be based. Now, you and I, John, have been talking about this for a long time. You've been, you know, just an absolute rock star in exposing a lot of this across the country. Are you surprised by this? I mean, they actually were honest about what they saw, and they're exposing this in this report.
Well, in one sense, it is a surprising and very welcome development. In another way, there's an interesting battle going on right now amongst leaders of elite universities. And it is no surprise to me, actually, to see Vanderbilt and WashU take the side of the reformers. Now, that's not to say that they're reforming in every way. They are certainly, and this report shows it, trying to distance themselves from what they would probably describe as the conservative attacks on higher education.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you read, for instance, and look at what Daniel Diermeier, the president of Vanderbilt, has been saying for a long time, they are expressing real concerns that higher education basically has a kind of scholar activist problem, where not all scholars, but some scholars are using their scholarship simply as a tool to advance political causes. And now the report is very academic and includes all sorts of qualifiers and, you know, personally, I think they're probably trying to say, no, we're not conservative. Don't call us conservative. But at the end of the day, they absolutely affirm that basic assessment that a certain group within higher education, a certain group of scholars are distorting their scholarship by putting political goals at the forefront, and importantly, by arguing that there's no such thing as non-ideological truth or non-ideological objectivity. And so really it's all ideological, and you should just embrace that and embrace that what you're doing is a kind of ideological project, which they say this is a disaster for higher education.
So, John, in the introduction of the report, and look, I'll be honest, I haven't read through all the, you know, the meat here, and you've done that, and you've done a lot of great, you know, stuff on the X, formerly Twitter today, kind of exposing some of this with screen captures, et cetera. But one thing in the open they say, and just want your opinion on this, is they say, in our view, and this is in italics, right, they want you to kind of take this as important, in our view, nothing in this report warrants any intervention more intrusive than such first steps. What does that even mean?
Right. And so, again, right now, everyone in mainstream institutions, a vast majority of professors, even if they think there's a problem, they're still very afraid that their independence is going to be overrun by a state government or by the federal government. And so I think they want to make the case to their colleagues that No. We're not trying to be a tool for the Trump administration or anyone else doing engaged in a political project. What we want to do is just say what's going on and take that first step. Now, I imagine there are some people within academia who would say that so as to stop any further action. But at the same time, I think what's interesting about the argument that they make is they actually say that there is a time when action has to be taken that actually defies the experts. So what they argue is that, university administrators, listen, if you're a university president, you have no idea what the best astronomy looks like, because you're inevitably not going to be, an expert in every discipline. You have to rely on the experts. But then there's this problem that sometimes the feedback loops don't work and the experts become kind of unmoored from reality, or at least that's possible. And they're saying that is possible. And when that happens, you actually have to have some sort of tool for feedback. And they say, we don't want this to go beyond we don't want anything dramatic to happen, but they are allowing for the fact that maybe other scholars should come in and review what's going on at particular universities. They are opening the door to serious feedback. And I think somebody, some courageous leader might, in the university context, might be able to take advantage of that and say, okay, we're actually going to follow up. It'll be worth seeing what Vanderbilt and WashU actually do years down the line based on this report.
Yeah, because they have all these, it seems like they have a lot of caveats, right? So, and they outline some of this, like the problem is not that scholars in these areas are significantly more liberal or progressive than the general public. I find a hard time believing that, right?
Right. And, in one way, I think my biggest critique of this report is that they essentially identify a serious problem. They identify the problem of relativism. They say that, well, some people think there is no objective truth, there are no objective standards, so all standards can be, every claim about knowledge or claim that some kind of evidence is worth listening to, that is an ideological stance. There's nothing that's not ideological. And so, you can always make the argument that really what you're doing is you are engaging in cis heteropatriarchal reasoning.
Yes, exactly.
No.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
I agree with them. That is bad. That does spell the destruction of higher education. And they, in fact, use really, really strong language to condemn that kind of scholarship. But I think they don't go far enough in saying that there are actually more mundane distortions of scholarship. And the fact that higher education has become so uniformly left or even far left, that scholarship across the board, and there's great data on this, has become uniformly left and increasingly so, I don't think they quite take seriously the fact that that is a sign that there's a problem, and that might actually contribute to the underlying problem that they're trying to get to the bottom of in the first place. They want to bracket that off. It makes sense that they tried to do that. I think you could make the report even stronger by trying to tackle that issue.
Yeah, I mean, look, they close it with some, I think, very strong language. They go and they kind of outlined a bunch of the different reasons throughout the paper. It says, for these reasons, we regard the failings that we have pointed out as so serious. They're not mere problems in the administration or operation of the university, but they strike at the very heart and soul of what a university should be for. And I agree with that, and I think you do as well. And one of the reasons you've been on this mission for a while. So who do you think chews on this and digs into it and thinks about it? Because it's lengthy. You know, you've done it. Will other universities absorb this, other leaders in academia, and take it seriously, you think?
Well, listen, every university is its own little political ecosystem. It has its own set of factions. And any document like that can be used as sort of a point of reference for people trying to get things done. And so I think that there are, we know that there's a faction within every university right now of hardcore scholar activists who will absolutely reject it. There's also a faction of hardcore reformers at most universities. That's a small group, but there are serious people in a lot of universities who want to reform things, who can equally make, you know, real efforts to make changes, and they can petition their leaders to make changes. And some of them might actually be in positions of leadership. And I think if you have a statement from credible scholars saying, yes, sometimes disciplines get so distorted that they actually need outside intervention, and that is a worthwhile thing and actually important thing to pursue. If you have somebody, some statement, an argument for that position, you can get somewhere with that. I firmly believe that you can. And again, I think this is a good, I think this gives us good reason to believe that, you know, WashU and Vanderbilt are the ones to watch. And I would love to see a follow-up from both of those institutions.
Me too.
On what they are doing.
We'll see if we can get that. And I'll see if I can put some pressure on too. John Seiler, always great to have you on, John. Thanks for all this work. And man, good timeliness here, booking you on a Monday. I'll give credit to my executive producer, Fred. We'll talk soon. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
It really is a fascinating little, self-examination or autopsy. I guess that's what they called it when the Democrats came out with their deal a couple of weeks ago. But then the follow-up, as we kind of pointed out at the end there, is what will happen as a result of this. It was a little bit more, when I read through some of this, a little bit more honest on the issue of bias than I expected, although then they try to cover their tracks many, many times as well. But at least credit for trying and really putting something out there for people to chew on, at least.
Get more at 971talk.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.